entitled my message this week, Protect Your Spirit. Let's unpack that a little bit. Protect your spirit. And we use for Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 this week. And just like we are in Lent, and we got 40 days in Lent to take care of things in our life, so to speak, it's referred to when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. New Living Translation says this. Then Jesus was led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he ate nothing, became very hungry. Then the devil came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, change these stones into loaves of bread." But Jesus told him, red letter edition, "No, scriptures say, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say, he orders his angels to protect you, and they will hold you with their hands to keep you from striking your foot on the stone." Well, Jesus responded, again, red letters, "The scriptures also say, do not test the Lord your God." And then next, the devil took him to the peak of the very high mountain and showed him all the nations of the world and all their glory. "I will give it to you," he said, "if you will only kneel down and worship me." Red letter edition, Jesus said, "Get out of here, Satan. For the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil went away, and the angels came and cared for him. May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. You know, we call synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels. John's gospel does not mention the temptation of Jesus. The other three do. And the other three do it in a very different way than recorded in Matthew. I like the ending of Luke chapter 4 because it says the devil departed him but told him, "I'll be back." Well, that's why we got to protect our spirit, because we are in spiritual warfare with the devil. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1 said, "Dead flies make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor." And then in chapter 4 of Matthew, as I read verse 10, said, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Well, just imagine for a moment that you are the owner of a vineyard preparing scrumptious feast for a party for esteemed guests. And you've done a great deal of preparation and you're just about ready to serve, and you brought out your best, the sweetest red wine from your wine cellar. Yet the weather is humid that day and insects are swarming and you forgot to cover or screen the wine. When the wine is poured, you realize that every glass is filled with gnats floating on the surface of the wine. Oh, it smells sweet and it looks scrumptious, but you cannot serve even one glass of your award-winning wine to your guest, as each glass has been contaminated by dead gnats. Well, in a sense, this is what it's like to put your best foot forward in every way, but fail to protect your spirit from the buzzing of the world's temptations that seek to desecrate and destroy the way you love and live. Jesus said, "We're in the world, not of the world, but in our world." Just as in the world when Jesus lived, it's often hard to see when we're led astray. Poison apples can appear when we least expect them. And how are we to know the difference between fair and foul, or finery or folly? Well, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us that even a little folly can out weigh your wisdom in honor. Oh, you may live an admirable life, but those around you will remember the one significant mistake you made, and it'll become your stamp and signature. I remember you, Ralphie. I remember. I went to school with you. And what? You're now a what? Well, just ask any celebrity or politician. One wrong move can destroy your career, a career that you spent a lifetime building. When we learn to drive a car, we spend hours upon hours learning and practicing and preparing for the road. But one wrong move, one wrong second distraction. Sometimes a distraction comes in just a brief moment. Boom! And we look away from the road, and then your life could end. It only takes one split second to end a life that could have lasted decades. Now, I don't want to say this to frighten anyone, because I think we all know what life's all about. Living life to its full is really a risk. Every day we have risks. So living life to the fullness comes with challenges. We're tempted with these everyday risks, with wisdom. That was Solomon's message. To the best of our ability, we look out for the swarming flies that cover our wine with wisdom. And most of all, we keep our eyes and our lives focused on our relationship with the living God through Christ. In our day and time, we are to watch out for dangerous distractions. For whenever God's sweetest souls reside, you can be sure the flies of contention and temptation will swarm. The sweetness of Jesus' love. Yeah, the kind of flies that seek to infiltrate the purity of our lives are not attracted to sour dispositions, but to sweet, pure, and innocent spirits that we come to be when we try to live the life that Jesus gave us and have it more abundantly, and the innocent spirits that we are. But the devil is there to attack. Well, it's like saying something that's attributed to Martin Luther, you know, the founder of the Protestant Reformation, so to speak. He said, whenever God builds a church, the devil builds a chapel. Wow. So whatever we're trying to focus on God through prayer, meditation, worship, scripture, we'll become more and more aware of the kinds of temptations that threaten to lure us towards an easy way out, or the promises of a quicker and more satisfying life achieved through the machinations of our own devices, or the false pretenses of those who would capture our attention and sway us away towards the things that glitter and goes pop to get our attention. Now, that by no means implies that living a life focused on God needs to be boring, unsatisfying, or tedious. On the contrary, living life in a relationship with God will bring us fulfillment, adventure, and excitement and joy as we never imagined before. I've been on both sides of that, and I know having the joy of the Lord in my life and the knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Oh, yeah, we have challenges, but boy, oh, boy, I don't want to ever go back to that dark side. But I always like the buts. The illusion that we can find all of this by our own means or by turning away from God will always threaten to dance in front of us. You know, like that carrot and the donkey, keeping the donkey a-moving. That Satan puts that carrot out there. Especially in times of preparation or even in times of stress. We all have stress. Even Christians have stress. It's like a mirage in the desert or a Walt Disney fantasy story. This is the case as Jesus is preparing for his 3-year mission. A mission he knows will be hard and require all the emotional and spiritual strength and endurance that he can muster. In a sense, he's been driven into the desert for the spiritual boot camp training by the Holy Spirit. Exactly, because he will need to be prepared for a self-sacrificial mission. One that will require him to stay focused and strong and faithful. He can't risk distractions. You remember when Peter tried? He didn't do so good, did he? And he can't risk taking the easy way out or resorting to power, control, and narcissistic tactics in order to make his mark and win the world. No, Jesus will column A God's victory through power plays or deals made through and carrying out God's plans of covenantal grace and love and sacrifice and forgiveness. It is God's will. He even said, Lord, if it's your will, take this cup from me. But if it's your will, I'll keep on going. And he did. The devil, however, is the lord of the deal. Did you ever watch that television program, Let's Make a Deal? Well, deal making, in a sense, is frustrating. And making a deal for a price sometimes, as we all know, there's no such thing as action without consequences. That's the basics of physics. So in our scripture for today, we see the interaction happening between Jesus and his temptation in the form of the devil personified. So after 40 days of fasting and spiritual preparation and prayer, he is both strong and vulnerable at the same time. After all, he's human. And the most evident thing here, he is naturally famished. He's human like us. He needs to eat. He needs rest. So what was his first temptation that the devil threw at him? He knew he was hungry. He said, truly carrying out your mission in the human form as planned, use your divine power to make these bread appear, these rocks, you know, turn them to bread. You can. You, the Son of God, use your power to feed yourself and take what you need. Yet, Jesus replies, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, Jesus in the wilderness is being prepared. He will not allow his hunger or physical attractions or otherwise to distract him from his devotion to God or to keep him from relying on God's providence and sovereignty. Jesus, even the Son of God, will respect his office and intentionally protect and cover the mission until the time of the feast begins. Feeling weak of heart sometimes, worried about different things, Jesus knows, because he's accomplished the self-sacrificial nature of his mission. Jesus next is tempted to test whether God actually has his best interests in mind. You know, the devil likes to play tricks on our mind, and sometimes he'll try that tactic with us. Will God respond and save Jesus in the end as he did Isaac from the altar? Does his special status give him the right to play games with God for attention or demand proofs of how this mission will unfold and that God will be victorious? Or can he trust in the promise and the covenant of God? Like Adam and Eve, Jesus is tempted towards disbelief. Could God really be deceiving him? Does God truly have his best interests at heart? Oh, once again, the old devil appears to Jesus on the human side, desiring to make him question God and his entire mission. However, unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus does not fall for this trick, and he responds, do not put the Lord your God to test, he told the devil. Finally, Jesus' humanness is tested a third time as the devil urges him to take the easy way out. And he can respond in just the way of his earthly disciples and peers will expect him to respond. He can seize power, overthrow Rome. That's really what they thought that he came to do anyhow. Or he could start a revolt and rule the nations as David and Solomon did of old. All he has to do is forsake the covenant with God and make a deal with the devil instead. He can be self-serving instead of self-sacrificing. He can gain the world instead of saving it. Jesus declined, saying, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, despite Jesus' hunger and his doubt and his fear of what he knows is to come, Jesus stands his ground and he will not be distracted. At last, the devil departs, and Jesus is prepared and ready for the ministry that will be marked by the covenant love that he affirms that day. Love is not power or selfishness. Love is not control or mistrust and does not test God's or others' devotion. Love is not a deal made for self-promotion, but a covenant entered into in a spirit of self-sacrifice. Sacrificial love would be the mode of Jesus' mission, a mission that the Spirit prepared Jesus for during his time in the wilderness. And while we as modern-day disciples, and we are his disciples, we can't possibly imagine that difficult mission that Jesus would have to accept. And still, we are all tempted often to make our self-serving goals in this life, to determine the direction of our path, or our initiatives, or even our actions. We're an impatient bunch, you know. We're human. We are impatient. We revel in the demand of me and now, and too often we can allow ourselves, preacher included, to be lured into thinking that we deserve a different life or a mission than the one that we've been given. You know, we all have assignments. God's given us, every one of us, an assignment. But deserve is a tricky word in our culture, in our lives today, an even trickier word in relationship with God. For Jesus died in order to free us. A gift, not with what we deserve, but a gift for us with exactly what we do not and never deserve. Complete forgiveness, grace, agape love, unconditional salvation, and you've heard me say it before, what we have is eternal life. You know, Jesus broke that bondage over sin and death by granting us eternal life and then proving it through the resurrection in these 40 days of Lent. That's what we lead up to, is Resurrection Sunday. Thank God we have history on our side and we can learn from it. In Genesis, Adam and Eve became convinced that God was keeping them from the life they deserved, that God was holding out on them, that they couldn't trust God to have their best interests at heart, and they too could command the power and the status of God. Well, they were convinced to mistrust God and to trust in a manipulated voice, the spirit of the devil. Why? Because it fed their desires for power through the assumption that we are something that, well, we deserve it. But God does not make deals with us. God instead invites us into a covenant relationship with him through his son Jesus Christ that nourishes us, assures us, prepares us, and saves us from ourself and distraction that would seek to destroy us. Jesus gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to help us work through these things, because he knew and he knows we need all the help we can get in this life, because we each have a life that's been given to us to live on this earth where we are. And when we refuse to live it fully, to protect it, and to trust in God to travel with us with our best interests at heart, we refuse the gift God's given us at times and doom ourselves only to folly. We call that fallen from grace sometimes, but if you live the life that you've been given, let the Lord surround you and keep you with his Holy Spirit to protect and to nourish your sweetness, your kindness, your love. The feast is near, and it's beautiful. It's undeserved, but it's here. Are you ready to feast on the things of God? I hope and pray that you are. And if you have accepted Christ into your life will be better. Now, you'll still have challenges, because Jesus said in this world you're going to have trials and tribulation, but fear not. Like, remember last week? not afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you always, even to the end of the age of grace. If you accept that into your life, you will have a certification that goes beyond anything that you can imagine, and you can and should be tempt-proof. A certified, authentic certificate of tempt-proof. Now on Sunday, thanks for the help of Janet, Tina's secretary at Crowder Excavating. They're making me up a couple little certificates that I'm going to pass out Sunday. It simply says, if you believe in Jesus, in the gift and the love of the Holy Spirit, you are tempt-proof. And I am going to give you a certified, authentic certificate reference into Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, as we read earlier in this message. Well, I thank you for tuning into today's message. In Jesus' name, amen.